This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You want to call the Times Yours line to give the Hammer credit for yet another victory. And a damn impressive one. I know that guy obviously is more of the chump variety than the Hammer variety. But let's be real. I mean, 4 out of 5, as Meatloaf did not say, 4 out of 5 ain't bad. Times Yours, react to beat the Hammer. Times Yours line is 215-238-4500. All right, the Phillies game from last night. There certainly are some things to react to from the game. I mean, the main thing is the rain delay was so long, it has obviously called into question whether a game like that should continue after the rain delay.
A nearly three-hour delay is a little much.
2:45 is a lot. Yeah. It really is. I've been saying today the Phillies lost last night. That's actually not accurate. The Phillies lost this morning. They didn't lose last night.
12:54. That's ridiculous.
It was really weird waking up and checking Twitter, and all the beat writers were posting like it was like less than an hour ago. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah, well, right.
This thing just ended?
I woke up at 11:30 because Chaney had to go out. And I checked, and it said delayed. And I went, oh, okay, then they're not going to play the game.
Oh, yeah.
Literally
no.
Said to myself, because it was 11:11. Yeah. I went, they're not going
to
play.
Well, let's listen to Rob Thompson talking about the James, this is our eighth piece of audio here, talking about the rain, the delay, the process. Here's Rob Thompson last night.
Is there a reason why you guys agreed, or why the league or someone said you wanted to stick around and try to finish this thing?
That's, through MLB.
You guys were told, or you wanted to, or like what was the?
No, they just said there was a window, so stayed around.
All right, so look, they stay around, they play the game, they lose it. Look,
doesn't sound like he's super happy about it either.
No.
You know? But he's also probably tired. I mean, that's a long process, you know.
I'll
so, anyway, Phils get back at it against the Cardinals. Last night, story of the game, I mean, they didn't hit. That's basically the story. I mean, other than the rain. No. Rain's the main story of the game. But the second story of the game would be they didn't hit. They scored one run in 11. Well, two runs. They got one in the 11th. But one run in 10 regular – well, one run in 9 innings, let's say. And then you play the extra inning rules and blah, blah, blah. The other thing within the game of note, Boehm was moved out of what I will call the 3-4 hole. Because obviously sometimes he hits 3, sometimes he hits 4. Now, this was one of those right-handed batters is going to hit 4 night because, you know, this is a Bryce 3 and, you know.
And he still
that
stunk.
Whole thing. He still stunk, and it was Casty, and I think
Casty
that's the right
stunk.
Well, he stunk even more because he was 0-for-5 with 5 punch-outs. That's almost impossible.
We know the golden sombrero is 4. Like, what's 5?
I know, platinum.
I've never even
heard
of it.
It's platinum.
I've never heard of it.
Look, I'm sure it's happened with Phillies
before.
Oh, it's definitely
happened, but I just there's no name for it because it never happens.
I agree with you, James. Let's listen, though, back to Boehm because it is notable after 2 weeks he's out of the 3-4 spot. Rob Thompson talked after the game about Alec Boehm.
You worried all about Boehm's confidence despite hitting it hard? Didn't have results to show for him?
Not really. You know, as long as he's putting good at-bats together and hitting the ball hard, he's going to be fine. He's hit into a lot of tough luck, too, along the way. But he's really played well defensively.
All right. So, I mean, look, Topper's not going to say I don't have confidence in him. Obviously, he has decreased confidence in him. I mean, clearly.
You moved him down in the lineup.
Correct.
You know, like, your actions speak louder than words. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
All right, Brandon Marsh has – I can't do it anymore.
I think a lot of people are out on Brandon Marsh. Like, I'm not out on Bone, but a lot of people are like –
capital O-U-T,
uncompetitive
out.
At bats.
Yeah, no, they are. I
and somebody's always on base.
It's look – if he is a starter in October, that's a problem. Period, end of story. Period, end of story. All right, 215-592-9494.
I don't understand some of the bad habits that we know that these guys have. Like Castellanos with the stuff that's low and away. Yeah.
But he had got better at it.
I know that he got better at it. And I've never been there, like, trying to discern whether to swing or not. I know I hear it's the hardest thing to do in all of sports, but I keep watching you swing at that low and away stuff when you're not perfectly locked in, and it's infuriating.
Well, of course it is.
It keeps happening. It just, we keep going back to the same things. With Bohm, it's he can't keep his emotions intact.
But here's the problem with Marsh. It's not one thing like that. He's just not good enough.
With Brandon Marsh, you know, we know he cannot hit a left-hander.
Well, we know that.
We know that a righty, it's not that great either.
He's not that good.
He's not a starter in the majors.
He's a guy who can give a guy a breather, maybe. Yeah. You know, like the extra outfielder who could fill in and surprise you with some awesome plays. Yeah, he's not the starter.
James, is Sosa a better player than Brandon Marsh?
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too.
Oh, yes. I feel incredibly confident about that.
So can we do something about that from an outfield perspective, then? Can he move right in there?
Well, the problem is someone has to play center field, and you don't want Kepler playing center, and I don't think you want Sosa playing center. So it gets – I think they got to make a move at some point during this. Well, obviously Crawford at some point. I guess that's the thing. All right. Something Mayock said about Howie Roseman as a draft competitor. Interesting audio from yesterday with Spike and Ike and Jack when they had Mayock on the show. We'll get to that shortly. Let's go to the phones. If you're just tuning in, a lot on the Phillies from last night. Also on the Eagles as we get close to the draft. But we're doing a lot looking back at the Eagles, of course, having won a Super Bowl 2 months and 2 days.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Days ago, that feeling, both with the game and the season, and then also looking ahead, knowing that it's the second time for all of us as fans that we embark on the next season, knowing that our squad had just won a Super Bowl. It's a beautiful feeling. How would you kind of sum it up? Let's get to Chris in Ocean City. Chris, good morning.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Good morning.
Hi, Chris.
Perfect topic for today. And I must say, I'm having a sense of unreality about the whole notion of moving forward and draft prep. And listening to Elliot, he just does such a fantastic job with all of his daily pods and giving us the information on the players. But I'm kind of reluctant to dive into it because I don't want to let go of this feeling and this special group of players. It's so rare that you experience things in life that exceed your expectations, especially if it's something that you care about as much as the Eagles, as we all have since we were little kids. And I just have such a sense of wonder and awe about what happened, and it makes me feel like a little kid, that I don't want to let that go. So, like, even when you guys were just talking about Bohm moving down in the lineup, it's like I just don't have any room to have consternation about anything right now, and I'm just curious, like, just from, like, a sociological perspective of how long that's going to last. Because
until the Eagles lose their first game next season, I would say.
Probably.
Or maybe their second or third. Like, maybe the first one.
It's the first.
But I don't think it's the first. I think it's if things start getting a little shaky as you go.
And
now,
so
of course, it won't be if they lose the second or third and they're 8-3. Then that's different. But, you know, one thing that stood out in 2018, they got to 5-7. That's a bad record. Now, they came out of that hole, obviously, as Foles saved the season. But, excuse me, that was the year they were 6-7. I think 2019, I think, was the one they were 5-7. Point is, if things start going seemingly off the rails like that, then, you know, people aren't going to be happy.
Well, I have a question on that line of inquiry to John. So, John, for a number of years, you were big into the whole Halfrey conspiracy, and there was a lot of enmity towards those two individuals.
Yeah.
How much would have to happen before you were critical of those two again?
Jeez. Well, it feels as though all of that has been deftly handled by the front office, to where Howie and Jeffrey, we know that they, we've watched the video of them on draft day discussing these guys. It really is trickling down all the way from the top. I mean, Jeffrey, he's the start of all the information.
I don't think that's right. Howie's the start of the information, but Jeffrey's involved.
Well, Howie is
GM.
The linchpin for all of it, the thing that makes it all work.
Yeah.
He matriculates that information up to Jeffrey so that he has all of it. They can discuss every single one of these guys. They know every one of them, even the owner, which I think is impressive.
Now, that may be more first round I would get. Like, John, do I think Lurie has opinions on six rounders? Probably not.
And I think that he has discussed the fact that he is a delegator. He's willing to, he accepts his role with all of that. But his interest is such that he loves the game and he does the research. He knows a lot about these guys, which I think is fascinating. There are some owners out there, like our, you know, the owner of our basketball team, who probably have a lot less interest in the individuals.
Chris, I'll say this, because obviously people were critical of the heavy-handedness of Howie and Lurie as it relates to some things that other organizations put in the purview of the head coach, like sometimes selecting coordinators. But it works.
That's the
with
thing.
This team,
you can't,
it works.
Argue with the results. I was mad. I was mad at the picture of our owner walking across the field at the Senior Bowl. Like, what is he doing? He's the owner of the team. He's not a coach or a scout. Well, he loves football. Yeah. And by the way, the fact that he is so immersed, it makes us so much better. He is the best owner in the game, and we should be thanking our lucky stars.
You don't think Jerry Jones a better owner than Jeffrey? Hey, Chris, give me an answer, pal. What would you change? You can win the Phillies tickets.
Yeah, you have to do a pretest for the Beat the Hammer like they do on Jeopardy. We can't keep having these tomato cans. You were bragging and gloating. Ruined my mood while I was on hold.
It's a good one for today. Hey, I like that, Chris. These are the important things that we need to change in this world.
That's pretty good. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, Mayock, talking about Howie as a draft competitor. Also, positions that are strengths within this draft up ahead. And if you don't know, of course, Sixers are totally going to miss the playoffs. We know that. They're going to have the fifth best odds to get the number one pick. But we also have wondered, what are the Sixers' chances of keeping their pick? I have that data. Percentage chance that the Sixers keep the pick and don't get jumped by two teams and fall out of the top six, which, of course, would make that pick go to OKC. What that percentage is, we'll tell you next. Joe DeCamera and John Ritchie on that from Borgata on 94 WIP.